prophets discover the old paths with Yahweh, our Savior, Yahweh HaMashiach, the first and only one in our life. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear. Hebrews 4, chapter 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being less us, a promise being left us of entering into His rest. And if you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the evangel, or the gospel, preached. He spoke of the seventh day. They shall enter into my rest. Again, He limited a certain day. A certain day, do not harden your hearts. Now, you're probably saying, I'd like to hear the whole passage there. So, starting from verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 4. That's the Sabbath chapter in the newer scriptures. In the scriptures part 2. So we cruise past Titus to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. No, I wouldn't want to come short of entering into the rest with Yahweh. By the way, this was written in 64 A.D. The book of Acts was written approximately 58 A.D. 4 verse 2. For unto us was the evangel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. 4 verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Also see chapter 3, verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in my rest. And Hebrews 3, 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we could see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, speaking of the rebellious Hebrews. There were, of course, obedient ones too. Otherwise we wouldn't have Isaiah and Jeremiah and, the books of Moses. Hebrews 4, verse 6. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they do, to whom it was first preached, entereth not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited, or the King James and some other versions, should be specified. He specified a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Yahweh the Messiah, or in some versions Yasha ben Nun, that would be from the original there, if Yasha ben Nun had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? He never spoke of another day, did he? That was the praise day to Yahweh, the separated day that he blessed from the beginning of time. There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of Yahweh. For he that is entered into his rest, he is also ceased from his own works, as Yahweh did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints, dividing asunder of body and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we're going to go to verse 16. You could read the others at home. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and find favor and help in time of need. A keeping of the Sabbath. There therefore remaineth a Sabbatismos, a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. Well, some would say, well, there therefore remaineth a keeping of the Sabbath to some of the people of Yahweh, to the Jewish people or something, but they would be wrong. They would not be agreeing with Scripture. Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths Where is the great way, and walk therein? And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Oh, yeah, Jeremiah 6:16. Oh, yes, Alleluia. How is it we grow into such illusions of rebellion? I have a theory. From the time we are innocent, newly born infants emerging from the womb, emerging from our mother, we see a bright blue glow. That's mother watching a television. It is as if the assistant in the hospital room pushes a TV remote control into our tiny fingers and advises, here, kid, learn how to push buttons. You have over 200 channels in the whole world at your disposal. That's terrible, though. They're not entering into the rest of Yahweh. They're, you know, into the mundane, the worldly. All around us, all the world is being inoculated by the worldly music, the carnal beat, pop media, and we're encouraged to party or rock on for Jesus, even. Personality emphasis churches are springing up, regardless of whether the pastor there has a talented presentation. The leaders package up the speaker to be popular. Even shofars were blown, not to praise Yahweh, but to showcase the famous speaker. Recently I saw this happen in a place where apparently the marketable church demographic group was young adults only. The music was a bland medium of rock and roll. Christian rock and roll. Although messages could be fine at face value in the music, the speaker volume was cranked way up to override the mind of the congregation. It did not help much to wear ear protection. It was just too loud and would try to override our minds and our spirits. And many teachers would be classified more as talk show hosts rather than ministers of the evangel. All the world is being inoculated by the pop media. The lack of separation from Babylon is just enough truth mixed in. It's enough truth mixed with error to catch the attention, the emotion of susceptible participants, especially when we're young and impressionable. It's all good is the motto, and or we hold to the so what theology. Yeah, Jeremiah is a great answer and cure, though, that we read there. Thus saith Yahweh, stand in the ways. That's chapter 6. Stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where's the great way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. When he says, look for the old paths, he doesn't mean to look to the old traditions of the church here back in the 20th or 19th century or 18th, you know, the Dark Ages. No, he's talking about the old ways back to when Yahushua, when the Messiah, when the apostles were on earth, when the emissaries, the apostles were on earth. Back in the days when the prophets, you know, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and so on, and Moses, when they were on the earth teaching, when Noah was on the ark teaching the family, that's the boat I'd want to get into if we were back in section 1, back in the Old Testament. I want to get back in that ark, get back there to safety. But we want to be protected by Yahweh. So what theology? Oh, the other inputs to these cultish devotees are hopped up espresso, alcohol served during religious gatherings, and the concealed use of pot by members of Messianic and Christian and other denominations, Protestant denomination. That latter drug is perhaps the cause of arrogancy, of pride. It puffs up. People are not getting unleavened for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover, or the same thing. And while marijuana supposedly causes users to be temporarily relaxed, it may cause an inconsistent manifestation, which I call the yo-yo manifestation, the up and down and up and down, the emotions are easily, you know, just like the like a drug that they give to some patients for pain, but it's also what's the name of it? First of all, it's lorazepam. You know, it's for anxiety. If you have anxiety, you're just taking lorazepam. Come on, we don't need to take a pharmakia, something like that. You know, Yahweh says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication let our requests be known unto Yahweh. And, you know, he will find our hearts and give us the desires of our hearts. But with that marijuana and lorazepam, different things like that, and I'm not speaking of all people who take it, you could affect people, and marijuana could affect people in different ways. They become haughty and generally and pushy and become puffed up as if by yeast, the main issue during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it's high time, not only in the high days of unleavened bread, it's high time to have the pure spirit remove our leaven of malice and wickedness from our spirits. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said in Jeremiah 6:16, we will not hearken. Isaiah 13. Now, let's go up to 13 now, the 13th chapter of Isaiah, leaving chapter 6 for a little bit. 13:14. Yahweh says, I will punish the world for their evil. Now, does that sound like John 3:16? That a different mighty one there? No, he's the same one who said, it's been so long, John 3. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that whole chapter should be read there. Chapter 3 talks about immersion, being immersed in the water. That's not just talking to people who, you know, they must be born water from your mother. Of course, everyone has that. He's speaking going on farther. We must be immersed in the water like they were the mikvah and so on in the section back in the Old Testament times. I'll just make it easy for you. Okay. They had the immersion then, and we still have it today. Only now it's power of the Spirit and Yahweh. Isaiah 13 now, we gave you time there. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I'll punish the world for the evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I'll cause the arrogancy, so those who are puffed up, the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. But not everybody who takes these products that I mentioned are puffed up. I suspect that it's really more of a fight, a challenge to, you know, you can be laid back when you do it. But drugs are pharmakia. And pharmakia and necromancing and going after evil spirits. You know, there's spirits in these things. I think there's a spirit behind that. The word says there is. Yahweh is now going to refine us in the tribulation. He's bringing us wicked leaders, the Obama nation in the United States in 2010. And he says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold. He's going to refine man. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Praise Yahweh. Malachi chapter 3:16. It's one of the 3:16s, when I make up my jewels. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh, and that thought upon his name, that thought upon his substitute name, God, Lord, now that thought upon his actual name, as best as we can know it. We know it isn't Lord, but his name is Yahweh. There's no W in the alphabet, in the Hebrew alphabet originally, until the Romans put it in later, 1,000 years ago. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts. They'll be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. And then we say, well, that's judging, though. We shouldn't be judging. No, you shouldn't be judging people and saying, you're going to hell. You're going to go there. But you can judge and say, no, you have committed this sin, you committed that. Or I don't go around telling people all the time. But if there's a certain situation where you feel that, of course, then you can judge in the assembly and say, well, shall we allow this man or woman to be a certain thing in here? Should we allow them to stay? Then you have to judge amongst the body of Messiah, whether or not It will. But John 7:27 says, judge. Messiah said to judge. He did say, judge, righteous judgment. Anyway, that's not what this is primarily about, this lesson, but we've started off talking about how things are kind of getting off on a tangent. People are using grass, and they're calling themselves Christians. They're using drugs. You know, get off of that stuff. Come on, don't bring that stuff into the assembly, or smoke it out there when you're gone, and come back and then all puffed up. Yeah, they puff away and then they're puffed up. Makes sense. Potheads in the back porch there in Oregon. We're messianics. Oh, we know Hebrew. We're wiser. Our minds think quicker. We're more laid back, baby. You just returned to the dumps of Babylon down in Berkeley in the 1960s. I'm sure there were some good people back there in the 60s. And in Berkeley, I knew some. But they didn't go there, to that college. Jeremiah 6:16, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the great way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. We talked about finding rest, Hebrews 4. Talked about Yahweh punishing the wicked. Exodus, now, Exodus or Shemot, chapter 12. We think that we have varying standards. The Jews have one standard, and we, the Gentiles, you know, I'm not referring to myself, as I believe I've been grafted into the good olive tree, into Messiah. We think that the Jews have a different standard, and the Gentiles have another. The Gentiles have a more superior covenant. It says in Exodus 12, amongst other places, I'll tell you also where they are, it says, one law, one Torah, shall be to him that is homeborn, that's in the chosen land, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So one law, the same consistent standard, the Torah, for the Hebrew person, and also for the Gentile, for the Greek. If you're not Greek, then you're Hebrew. It's as simple as that. You can also find that same statement, other than Exodus or Shemot 12:49, Exodus 12:49. Also find it in Leviticus 24:32, Leviticus, Vayikra, it's called, and Numbers, or Bamidbar, Numbers 9:14, and Numbers 15:16. Now what if it were only found in Exodus, only one spot, and the entire word in the section 1 there, and the entire word from Genesis to Revelation? Would that mean that that verse doesn't apply to us or to anybody, you know, necessarily? We're only to one group? No, we don't want to say that if it only is found in one place in Scripture, then it is not valid. We have to have two or three witnesses to make every word established. No, that particular statute, my friend, is referring to judging people who are possibly guilty of something. We have to have two or three witnesses against them if they have done something wrong. Hopefully we'll have two or three witnesses saying they did something right. They kept the commandments. They did everything to keep their body in perfect shape. They got, you know, healthy, kept clean, ate good food, didn't eat any animal products, stay away from milk and eggs. Dr. Lorraine Day tells us, yes, she does, and she says to get plenty of sunshine, exercise, fresh air. Sunshine, yes, that makes a difference. Not artificial sunshine, not a whole bunch of artificial lights all the time. Leave the shades open when you can. And she said to get plenty of sleep as well. Drink plenty of water, but get plenty of sleep. Go to bed when it's dark, if possible. These swing shifts and this 24/7. I don't know. Who are you afraid of? You're afraid of Yahweh, hopefully, because in a fearful way, it's okay to fear him. Why, sure. Why shouldn't we fear Yahweh and not fear man? We should fear Yahweh. Fear him every way, I think. But if you're in Messiah and you're walking by the Spirit, that he is working his righteousness in you and giving you his righteousness as well to cover you for the things you can't do, keep his commandments, then I believe that You can believe that that there is no fear. You know, the perfect love casts out fear. That there is no actual fear of his always trying to catch you at doing something wrong. You know, he's always going to catch you at doing something right. Ezekiel 36. So let's go forward to the next chapter. We may have covered this before, but we need to do it again. So that's after Jeremiah. That's after Isaiah, Jeremiah. So we go to Ezekiel, or Ezekiel. We don't use L around. Okay, 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. Well, that's, I'll take that. A new heart, new spirit, yes. Yes, please put that within me, but don't put any of that bondage of that law on me, right? Let's keep reading. They don't keep reading. But we will. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you, so good, so far so good, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Keep my feast days. Judgments are found in Exodus 21, at least that's the word that's used in the King James. Also look around for Ezekiel, other than 36:26, look around for Ezekiel 11:19 and 37:24. I'm going to go ahead to 37:24 here. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and shall also walk in my judgments. That's referring again to the feast days, judgments, and observe my statutes. That also is feast days in there, but it includes all the good commandments, 212 of them, and do them. So did I interrupt the scripture? And they all shall have one shepherd, and shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. So we have, who cares if we have 212 commandments and judgments? I can live by that. But when we learn Exodus 20, we learned the Sabbath from Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and two, then we should never buy on the Sabbath for any reason. You know, an extreme emergency, I don't know about that, but going in and buying a bottle of water or something is not necessarily, or, you know, candy and all that stuff. Don't go in and, please don't go in and buy stuff and break the commandment. Don't vacuum the church on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day of the week. That's wrong. Then we talked earlier about the word Easter. That's a corrupt word, if anything, is in worship. There's a lot of corrupt words in the English language and in other languages that, you know, they're corrupt, but if we're not using it in reference to our service to Yahweh, our direct service in the congregation, or messianic congregation, or wherever, then perhaps it doesn't matter quite as much. But it's most important that we don't use corrupt words in addressing our Savior in any way, or in praising Him in any way. We don't want to use those. Look around on our website there, and you'll find a shocking authentication and proof that Yahweh is the correct word for our Mighty Father. That's in the Tetragrammaton. Yahweh is the name of the Father, not G-O-D, not Lord, and not Yahshua. Oh boy, yeah. Are we staying up late or what? So if we don't have the Torah, what will define what we can or cannot do? Dancing, drinking, smoking, and swearing. You know, those are the four no-nos that you shouldn't do in the Protestant world. But if we don't have Yahweh's standard, His perfect law of liberty is that does free us from bondage by reading and knowing the word and being able to obey it by His Spirit, enabled by Yahweh, then we don't know. It's all moral relativism. We don't know what's right and what's wrong, really. Only, you know, who can say? The elders will try to interpret, maybe? No. The word interprets. Where are my notes here? I had some really good ones on that. Oh, there it is. The first two commandments are the great commandments. And all of those 212 commandments, statutes, and judgments tell us how to love Yahweh, but they're summed up in the first great commandment, first two great commandments, to love Yahweh and to love our neighbor. To love Yahweh with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength first, before we are concerned about that neighbor over there, that friend in relative, or especially that, especially the person in our assembly, we should be concerned. But first of all, Yahweh is the first consideration. Am I breaking the Sabbath? Am I breaking any of those laws that deal directly with our relationship with Yahweh? We have a great relationship if we are sincere and we're, really want to study Yahweh's word and live by it. Love and live for Yahweh. That's why we study the word. We don't have love for, love with myself or love with the word love, the concept of love and romantic things. And but we don't have love for our church name or our Protestantism or love for a kind of a deity out there. We have love for Yahweh. And we want to prove all things by reading the word. Now, the modern Protestant has the formula for an easy life. Do what they tell you to do. Celebrate the pagan day, December 25th. Give presents to yourself and to one another. Join the union. Join the club. It's all good. Well, Yahweh's word is all good, but not everything out there in the world is good. Not going out boating and going to the extreme and obsessed with pleasure on the Sabbath day. Yahweh forbids that in his word. Of course, you would know that if you read the word. So you don't have any disagreement with that. But we don't go out on the Sabbath. We don't go out boating necessarily. Unless the boat is there and it's easy to just step into it and you're going to go out in the middle of the, Yahweh went out in the boat on the Sabbath, I think, but not for pleasure. You're just going to go out there and relax for maybe go to sleep, read the word. Sure, you can go boating that way, but not with an obsession. I'm going to go out and catch 100 fish, catch my limit today. Not 100, but what is the limit today? 3 or depending. We will serve the master for our family, for me and my family. We're going to serve Yahweh. Yeah, go ahead. Do your pleasure. Go boating on the Sabbath. I give you the world dictators. We will vote him out. We will vote out Bush. We'll vote out Obama's nation and so on. Well, Yahweh will give you dictators and they will carry out Yahweh's punishment on us. We can't just vote him out. We have to conform to his word, to love Yahweh, and have that relationship. Throw out the pagan names and the Easter and all that. But remember that Yahweh was, that he was impaled, that he died on the 14th of Aviv, or Nisan, and then 3 days and 3 nights later he rose from the grave on Aviv 17. So every year it comes up on Aviv 17. Some call that, instead of Aviv, they call it Nisan. But I've heard that that's a corrupt word, so we kind of stay away from that too. We have an obligation to, I think we're, wind it up, but so some will admit, well, the Sabbath is still in effect. Nevertheless, it seems like they are saying negatively about the Sabbath. Yahweh does not know how to tell us in this modern age how to keep the Sabbath, since he only tells us to rest, they say. Yeah, we're just going to go out for our own pleasure and forget him and forget the Sabbath on the seventh day, because who knows, time has been lost and so on. It has not been lost. We'll turn to Leviticus 23, and then, we read Ezekiel 36:26. We didn't talk about this one item here that, we did. In Deuteronomy 32, the strange gods, the abominations, the new Elohim. No, all gods are not the same, as they try to make us think that, all religions are okay. Yahweh said, not to go after the strange gods and these new ones that in mysticism and Oriental, the only Oriental mighty one that we should follow is Yahweh. If there's an Oriental person from China or Japan or, the Far East and they serve Yahweh, then I think I would go along with their mighty one, Yahweh. I know that I would. So, at least you admit the Sabbath is still in effect. Nevertheless, it seems like you're saying Yahweh does not know how to tell us in this modern age how to keep the Sabbath. Well, in this modern age, we can figure out what time it is. We can look at the calendar. We can trace back thousands of years. In Leviticus 23, when someone contends that, or states that the Sabbath is only for resting, what does it say? Leviticus 23. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of the northern and southern tribes. Speak unto the children, the Hebrews, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be pure convocations, even these are my feasts. Now he's going to talk about, first of all, the first feast is the Sabbath, 52 times a year. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a pure convocation. So you see, all we have to do is rest. There. That's all settled. It's all in the box now. Yeah, I read the word convocation. What does that mean? Convoking. That means bringing the people all together. Oh boy, now we got to go somewhere and hear somebody talk. Probably fall asleep for 10 minutes and be rested up to be refreshed. And we just talked about a new spirit and a lot of things here, but hope we've encouraged you some. We welcome your comments. Please email us or leave a little on the top there. There's a guest book. Okay, thank you very much. Shalom.